I have a question for you. Would you let somebody hypnotize you?
Okay, listen, before you click off and you're like, nope, that ain't my jam. I'm not going to be hypnotized up on her.
Listen, did you know that there are a lot of people who are using this tool to help change their behavior, deal with mental health issues? Like, there's a behavioral component to this. And there's a lot of therapists who are getting trained on hypnotism. And many claim that going down, down, down into your subconscious, well, it just might make your brain happy.
Welcome to another episode of Happy Brain. My name is Heather Parody, and thank you for joining us as we explore the fun side to mental health by digging into the simple hacks and fun tips to make your mental health journey more enjoyable and your brain a little happier. Hey, y'all, welcome to today's episode of Happy Brain. If this is your first time listening, I am so grateful you are here. And if you've been around a minute, how you doing? Thanks for coming back. Today's going to be a lot of fun because it is part two with our hypnosis case study. And guess who the case study's on? Yo, girl, that's right. Over the past several weeks, I have been working with a rapid transformational coach who has helped me tap into my subconscious to change my behavior. And I'm going to tell you all the things. And what you learn today might really, really shock you. But before we get started, we have just launched a brand new community for our Happy Brain listeners. So you can connect with one another, connect with me, make episode requests, share feedback, and most importantly, support one another in your journey to making your brain happy. Now listen, membership is completely free, 100%. We just want to build community because community matters, right? All you got to do is click the link in the show notes or go to tlbc.co/community. It's hosted on Discord. Again, that is tlbc.co/community. Now, today we have on Ian Inguanas, who is a rapid transformational therapist and behavioral change expert. Now, I linked up the previous episodes in the show notes to kind of catch up to where we're at, but I'll give you a quick summary. We had an episode about hypnosis, and I was really curious about it, so I ended up working with Ian over the past several weeks and promised you guys that I would document the process honestly so you could know my experience, whether it worked, whether it didn't. So that'd be kind of fun. Our last episode that we had was with Greg Clunas, who is a reoccurring co-host on the show, great friend of mine. And I confided in him that, hey, Greg, I think I'm going to go ahead and try this hypnosis thing out, the subconscious work, and see how that goes. And well, he said he was a little worried about it. He wasn't too big of a fan of the idea. And one of the things that he said is he didn't believe in hypnosis, or he was weary of hypnosis because there seemed to be a lack of focus on the behavioral change part. Like, I'm going to go in and tell Ian, well, I want to stop eating cheeseburgers. That would never happen. Ian would put me in a hypnosis and I would come out and just not want it anymore. And I think I kind of had that thought too, that maybe that's what hypnosis was and it didn't make a lot of sense. But ask Ian, I'm sure he got that a lot.
And people think this is just sort of one and done, and it's not. The journey we take, and obviously the journey I'm working with you on, is we have to, it all starts with subconscious beliefs. Because that is what creates your identity. And your identity will value how you see yourself, the world, and everyone in it. And more importantly, what you believe is available to you, right? So that's the first part. But then the second part is, once we've created that new identity, that and that identity now requires certain behavior, well, that behavior has to be expressed through actions. That's a learned thing. I mean, if it was that easy, you'd have a hypnosis session, you'd get, oh, okay, well, that's where it is, and that's what I thought, and this is how I need to think now, and she'd be right. But it's not that at all, right? Because it's like a muscle that you're learning to use. You have to strengthen it. You get a lot of people that come through some part and go, okay, this is the life I want to lead, and this is how I want to see myself. That's great. But then, like, I'm stuck. How do I get started? Like, they don't know how to do the actions. It's one big journey, but there's two phases. The first is your subconscious beliefs, which is everything, absolutely everything. But then the second part is, like, how do we take that emotion now? Like, that behavior, what actions are required that will encompass that behavior to that new identity to give us those lasting changes?
So like I said, I was going to document this honestly, and I'll tell you the truth, what I've experienced so far. As of this recording, we were about 4 weeks in, and what I understand this process to be is doing hypnosis, going into like a... tapping into your subconscious really starts challenging your narrative. where it starts asking yourself kind of some deeper questions of like, why do I do the things that I do? So it's almost like a hyper awareness, hyper attention that's placed on your life. That's kind of what I've understood it to be. It's less, I'm going to be a chicken. You know what I mean? And less like out of control. And more of a hyper awareness on the present. That's what it's felt like for me. And then when you get out of that state, again, that heightened awareness helps you start making better decisions and considering your actions.
But you touched on two really good points there. Let me go back to the first one. So the first one was the issue is people see their symptoms. So you came about, first of all, it was about a little bit extra weight because of my drinking, blah, blah. And that was great. And I knew that was just a symptom. Yes, when we delved into it, there were a lot more deeper things came out that you and I understand we discussed. So it's always people look at the symptom, but we need to go further than the symptom they're experiencing and go to like the root cause. What is causing that? That's just a way of you manifesting something deeper, right? Then the second part, like you said, with the action, the fact now that you are consciously aware of these things, these moments during a day, is what the work is all about. And that's where it starts. It's that conscious awareness, snapping out of that habitual loop and go, well, why am I doing this? And most people will not do that. This is where it actually starts. And I remember our first, I mean, you are so different 4 or 5 weeks later. I remember our first conversation, and I'm sure you do too, where I was just sitting there and questioning things because we have conclusions and you'd make a statement and I'd be like, really, Heather? And you'd look at me stunned and you're like, you would start questioning it. There was that conscious awareness happening, right?
Yeah.
And same through the actual hypnotherapy session. You understand where those beliefs come and all the rest of it. And once you understand where those conclusions had come from, then you start questioning, well, that I've got a choice now. Is that part of my life now as a 30-something-year-old successful woman or not? And normally it's not even valid. Mm-hmm. And then you start thinking, well, if that conclusion was incorrect, how many more have I made about myself and my life? And that's the conscious awareness now. And this is why I say it's not one and done. It's definitely a lengthy process. I like to work 12 weeks, 3 months. By the end of that 3 months, you're good to go. You've got enough evidence and experience to run with it yourself now. Okay. But this never stops. This never, never stops. And it shouldn't. Okay. If it does stop and we start going unconscious again, we're going to create more problems in our life. But unfortunately, people don't stop and take time for this. We're distracted. And rightly so, we live in a very busy, fast-paced, chaotic life. Take 10 minutes, breathe, and just listen.
Now, again, I think the word hypnosis, it's always, I've always thought of it at this point, like, you're going to go down, and you're going to become a monkey. And when you wake up, you're going to be a monkey, and everybody laughs at you. And I don't want to do that. You know what I'm saying? Like, these people going up on Mari, trying to be monkeys and stuff. Y'all remember Mari? Anyway.
So all it is it's moving into a trance-like state. So we're going from a beta brainwave, which is where we're really active, alive, listening, learning, going down into an alpha brainwave state. The alpha brainwave is where we really go to sleep, where we're in a very relaxed, safe feeling, and we're sort of zoned out. It's a daydreaming sort of state. Right. And that's where we really sleep in that alpha state. So when we get us down to that, the analytical part of the mind just sort of switches off. All right. Now you actually, again, another myth is people think when you're in a hypnotic state, you're there and that's it until you count it out. You're in and out. Right. And hypnosis is a very natural thing. We do it every day. Exactly as I just said, if you're daydreaming, we've all been in a car, we've been driving away and thinking about stuff. And before you know it, you've parked and you've gone, holy crap. Like I wasn't even aware. That's that alpha brainwave. It's just a very unconscious level of mind. And that's where we want to go into. Yeah. And it's just a case then of, as I said, if you're in that state sitting in a chair quietly by yourself, it's just noticing those thoughts, not trying to quiet the brain. We don't try and sit quietly in the hypnosis session. We actually were actively talking and just allowing things to come up. We're not judging them. I'm asking you a question, you're responding just as we're talking now, but you can attest to this. You have things come up that you just think, wow, where did that come from? I haven't thought of that for so long. What did that mean? And that's the process. So it's a very unguarded sort of thought process you go through. Like guard dogs put to sleep.
Okay, about 4 weeks in, we still have like 8 weeks together, which is a lot. So when he dives more in with clients, what comes up after these 4 weeks?
We all think we're so different. We're not. Yes, we're slightly unique, but the journey of those 12 weeks is almost exactly the same for everyone. So let's talk about your journey. So You'll find the first 2 weeks, I'll find my client is super excited, super aware. I know you were texting me every other day and we're texting back and you, oh my God, you know, I've got this insight and I've just thought of this. And it's a very liberating sort of almost an excitable, the world is really my oyster. It's amazing. I've been holding myself back. Cut that anchor off and I'm swimming. Then after those first 2 weeks, week three and four, where you got to, you start having these sort of ebbs and flows where you start questioning now, oh my God, I've been bold and said, this is what I want to do now. But all of a sudden we start thinking, oh, can I do this? Am I supposed to? There's a lot of questioning, right? And you went through that. We all go through that. Mm-hmm. That's sort of week three and four. Now you're stepping into, again, now week five, six, seven, eight, we stop thinking about what we're going to do. We start being that person now. And I've seen a change in you. And we had a chat last week about things you're moving forward to. And I said to you, this is you. I could see it.
Yeah.
So we start being. And then those last 4 weeks, that really when I see is just the client really now is opened up to really being curious about other parts of their lives. Problems hold hands with other problems. And they've got this, oh, it's almost a brashness, like bring it. Oh my God, and I found it. I've got this weird belief of that. I'm going to dismantle and dissolve it. And they're on their own. It's amazing. So those last 4 weeks, because now they've got evidence too. And the mind loves evidence. And that's why we talk about that sort of feedback loop. And that's why your subconscious mind your beliefs have to be really carefully woven in, right? Because again, those subconscious beliefs, when you look at the identity, then the behaviors and the actions, those actions are going to create events and experiences, which is your evidence. And if they are creating the right experience and evidence that you expect now and want, well, then my beliefs are correct. And then the good beliefs start stacking up. And that's what's wrong with the bad subconscious beliefs. We get more evidence about what we believe, and then that just bolsters those negative beliefs. And so you're right in that mm-hmm. precipice now where you can see you're stepping into your new self and you know what I'm talking about. And people that know you will see the same thing now. And it's beautiful to watch. It's just this timeline is amazing. So when people go, oh, really, is it 12 weeks? Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. And what's 12 weeks for the rest of your life?
Make sure you connect with Ian over at ianiguanas.com. That is linked in the show notes. If you want to try this out yourself, he does offer a free consultation. Anybody in the back? But before we go, Ian, anything else?
Yeah, probably two things. Number one, there's nothing scary about hypnosis. That comes up all the time. You cannot get stuck in hypnosis. It's not like you said, you're a chicken now and that's it for life. I wish you could fix every problem in one session for good. There's work to be done. Hypnosis is no different than you just being in that sleepy state where you're talking to someone with your eyes closed. You don't really want to open your eyes up because you're in a really cool state. So that's number one. There's nothing to fear from hypnosis. It's absolutely natural. And the second biggest takeaway for the listeners is we don't give enough credit to repetition. Mm. So when we talk about the one and done versus a bit of a timeline, it's repetition. And we have to be very consciously aware of what we're repeating, the stories we tell ourselves, the words we speak, and the actions.
So my consensus up to this point is I really like it. I've been stopping and asking myself why more often. Like, why am I pouring another cup of coffee? Do I really want this? Why am I responding this way? It's like it's literally like a very hyper awareness that I feel like I've been brought into over the past few weeks. So I'm really curious what's going to happen over the next 8 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Like, if I get more wares, I don't know if I can handle it. We'll document more here the upcoming weeks. But if there is a topic that you want to see covered on Happy Brain that we haven't covered yet, I want you to find me over on Instagram. It is at HappyBrainFM. It's linked again in the show notes. Slide in my DMs. Tell me a topic that you would love to see us talk about. And listen, whether it is looking at your anxiety triad, getting a dog to spend time with, or even doing some hypnosis, we just hope you take a moment for yourself today, my friends, and keep that brain of yours happy. Thank you for listening to another episode of Happy Brain. If you enjoyed this, make sure you hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to podcasts. And if you have an extra second, leave us an honest review over on iTunes or your Apple podcasting app. And until next time, my friends, keep that brain of yours happy.